Hi, I'm Pastor Kenny. Welcome. Thank you for joining us this morning and joining us on this video. This is the first time SP has ever done this, where we've done a video sermon instead of a live sermon. So thank you for joining us. I hope that you will feel so blessed by the message, even through this video. And I know God, you know, He's so big that He can still use this video to bless you and touch you and transform your life. So let's just start with a brief word of prayer, okay? Jesus, we thank you for today. And even despite not being able to come together in person, we can still gather and make use of technology to still seek you. Still have our Sabbath, our Sunday service. It's a little different, God, but still, we still want to seek you out and worship you and encounter you all the same, Lord. So we want to just offer this time to you, Lord. Would you come speak to us? Speak your prophetic word, your message that would pierce and touch our hearts, God. And Lord, I just pray you would use me during this time. Use me through the video to touch and bless hearts. And speak your truth and convey your love as well. We thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So we are continuing our series on the coffee shop talks. These are the kind of the casual talks we have when the pastors, they go out for coffee. The question that I often get asked is, Pastor Kenny, how do I pursue the opposite sex? How do I pursue the opposite sex? And after a lengthy conversation, just finding out what they want and how they go about things, the answer I always come to is, why don't you just get to know the person as friends? So the title of my message today for this coffee shop talk series is called Just Friends. And I know that's typically not a positive thing. There was a movie with Ryan Reynolds called Just Friends. And being just friends is when you like someone, and instead of your feelings being reciprocated, they actually end up seeing you as just friends. And it's not what you want. But in this day where we have social media, where in Hong Kong you're so well networked, where now there's online dating, all these things, it's actually pretty rare to be just friends with someone. What usually happens is you meet someone, you kind of spend, you know, 1 hour with them, and you decide if you want to pursue that relationship, take things to the next level. And if not, you just cut them out of your life. So there isn't even an opportunity to be just friends now. So what I'm talking to you about today is really not about opposite sex, pursuing, dating, relationships. I'm actually just talking about friend relationships. I know as you hear this, maybe you're scoffing at the idea of what? I don't need to know anything about just being friends with somebody. So I even talked to a few people who I thought were quite social, quite extroverted, who have a lot of friends. And I asked them, how do you become friends with someone? And they kind of like, what do you mean? It's like, I'm friends with someone by just being friends with them. And that's the problem, right? Is when we, for many of us in our friendships, it's something that is very intuitive, right? It's not something we really think about how we do it. It's kind of like walking, right? You never have to think, how do I walk? How do we just do it? And until you actually think about how you walk, and I have experience with this from doing animation when I was in high school, and I had to try to get someone to walk. You actually had to think, how does someone walk? Right? You take a step, heel, toe, next leg, heel, toe. Where's the weight? Where's the counterbalance? All these things. And that's the same with relationships. It's so intuitive that we really never think about it. And so for most of us, our experience and how we learned to be friends and how to have relationships, satisfying relationships, is really from just trial and error, right? It's just from our experience from school. Maybe it's a little bit from movies, but most movies, it's more talking about actually dating, romantic relationships. But maybe it's from the TV show Friends, and so we see how they live and how their lives are portrayed, and that's probably what we model it after. And so for myself, as I was thinking back, it started in primary school. How did I become friends with people? I would play sports. So because I played sports growing up, that was my way of connecting. And in regards to connecting with the opposite sex, how was I friends with them? I would make fun of them. And so from primary school to grade 8, I remember even if I really liked someone, as soon as we kind of got into not argument, but we just kind of like dissed each other, I would just make fun of them really bad. And I recall one time actually hurting someone's feeling. And I actually really liked this person, but I just said really mean things to them. And so I recall that. And then I went to high school. I went to a brand new high school where I didn't know anybody. It was a huge high school, had over 2,000 people. And I remember going, not knowing anyone, and I had to really adjust myself to become someone who could fit in, to join conversations, figure out how I did that. And I can say for the most part, I did not do very well. I was somebody who was so desperate to fit in, but I was actually never satisfied with the relationships I actually had. I had some fantastic friends, but I didn't know how to appreciate them because I was always trying to find something better, wanted to be cooler, didn't really know who it was. Then I reached college, and that was just a whole other stage of just trying to be comfortable and free to be myself, because in high school I was not able to do that, but I was still very timid. And then after college, that was when I really took risks, right? Really sharing how I felt, being really honest. So these were the steps I took to learning relationship, and it was really just by trial and error. The first time this happened was with my parents, and my mom was just telling me, Kenny, you really need to like cherish your relationships. You have such good friends. This is probably in high school. You have such good friends, but how come, you know, they call you, and I tell you they called you, and I'm just like, whatever. Right? She was like, why don't you call them back? And she was saying, you really need to cherish those friendships, because as you go older, you'll realize it's actually hard to find really good friends. And not only is it hard to find good friends, it's hard to find new friends. There's not many opportunities. And I just really didn't think much about it. And then over the years, and I remember even when I first came to Hong Kong and being at Solomon's Porch in my late 20s, I had older brothers at their church who were probably around in their 40s. They would say to me, yeah, you know, as you get older, it's really difficult to find friends or find new opportunities to find friends. So that was something I always kept at the back of my mind. So as we're talking about relationships now, we can really break relationships into two things, okay? We can break it up into our quantity time that we need to spend with people and also the quality time that we spend with people. Quantity time. A recent study out of the University of Kansas found that it takes about 50 hours of socializing to go from acquaintance to casual friend, an additional 40 hours to become a real friend, and a total of 200 hours to become a close friend. It takes a lot. It takes a lot of time to become friends with someone. And we see it's natural for most of our lives. Think about it. From kindergarten all the way to college, you see the same people every single day. There's so much opportunity for you to just bond and get to know people. And then after you graduate college, unless you're continuing further studies into like master's or doctors, that kind of ends, right? And after that, still, if you think about what is your circle of community that you're close with, even this person who was really social, I was talking to them, and what they said was, oh, right now my social circle of friends is probably church and also work, because that's where they're at most of the time. You see this in our school life, it's really natural, all these opportunities, but then afterwards, it doesn't happen as much. And then, you know, other examples are, you know, when you go on mission trips, if you've ever been on a mission trip, one of the best things is you're with your group every day. Not just every day, 24/7. You're experiencing and living life together. And by the end of the trip, you feel so close. And I think of even when the early church, when Solomon's Porch, we first started and we're 20, 30 people, we would actually just meet each other every single day. We had official things on Sunday, Sunday service. We had Wednesday Bible study. And then throughout the week, we would actually just meet together for lunch, dinner. I think we were seriously meeting each other every day, and everyone was just gelling so much. And you see this not just in our personal lives, but we see this in the Acts church when they first experienced Pentecost. In Acts 2, verse 46, it says, "Day by day, continuing with one mind in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart." So they were just meeting together all the time, having dinner together, praying together, worshiping together, doing everything together, sharing. What's yours is mine, what's mine is yours, you know, selling their belongings to help each other. It was just, they were living life together, right? So the amount of time you spend is important, and because it allows you to have shared experiences. So that's quantity time. And now we have quality time, the other part. Quantity is the amount of time you spend. Quality is this. So this is what Dr. Gary Chapman, he's the author of the book called The Five Love Languages. This is what he says about the essence of quality time. "A central aspect of quality time is togetherness. I do not mean proximity. Togetherness has to do with focused attention. A husband who is watching sports on television while he talks to his wife is not giving her quality time, because she does not have his full attention. A husband and wife playing tennis together, if it is genuine quality time, will focus not on the game, but on the fact that they are spending time together." So for those of you, you know, when you get together all the time, and, you know, you grab lunch, dinner, if you're on your smartphone, checking your messages, you know, going through your Instagram, Facebook, social media feed, that is not quality time. And so quality time, according to Dr. Gary Chapman, is just one of the five different love languages that we use to express ourselves. So the five languages are, there's words of affirmation. So this language uses words to affirm other people. There's acts of service. And for these people, actions speak louder than words. Then there's receiving gifts. For some people, what makes them feel most loved is to receive the gift. There's physical touch. To this person, nothing speaks more deeply than appropriate touch. And then, as mentioned, there's quality time. This language is all about giving the other person your undivided attention. This is important to us because we have different love languages. Each and every person, we have different love languages that we use to express, and also different love languages that we receive. But by others understanding other people's, then you can come to appreciate each other even though you might miss each other. So example is, my primary love language is acts of service and gifts. My wife's primary love language is physical touch and words of affirmation. So even though we're trying to express our love to each other, if we're not aware and intentional, we're going to miss each other. So in the case of my wife, even though my primary love language is not physical touch, I need to do that for her. So what does that mean? I need to just hug her for no reason without her asking me to. I need to rub her back. I need to play with her hair. I need to, if I'm sitting next to her, you know, put my hand on her back. I need to put it on her leg, let her know. And by doing that, she feels very loved. And so you can take the test and find out what your primary love languages are. Back to quality time. I feel that quality time is more than just one of the love languages. I actually believe that quality time is an essential. We all need this quality time in our life. It's like the foundation. So R.T. Kendall said this over our last retreat. He said, every child spells love T-I-M-E. When we hear that, we all acknowledge that. We're like, yeah, that's true. That's true. Every child, they need to spend quality time with their parents. And we always hear stories or even movies about parents who don't get that opportunity to spend quality time with their child, and then they buy them lavish gifts, right? I don't know, like new car when they're 16, or you know, just really expensive, nice gifts. And usually in the way that movies portray it is they receive the gift and they're actually not that happy or satisfied, because what does the child really want? What the child really wants is they wanted to spend time with their parents. I mean, maybe there's some love in it, but really it's a guilt offering, right? To appease the children for not really being there. And I think deep down, even the parent knows, I should have been there. The other example where quality time is very apparent is when it comes to God. When we're talking about God and, you know, we always say, you need to do your QT. And QT stands for quiet time, but it just as well mean quality time, okay? And so we acknowledge we have to spend our quality time with God. And what would you say to someone who doesn't spend any quality time? All they do is they serve at church. All they do is give their offering every week. All they do is give thanks, you know, when they pray, come to Sunday service, but they don't actually spend any quality time with God. You would say that they probably don't really have a relationship with God, right? A deep relationship with God. What you would say is that all those things that they are doing is actually for just, I don't know, earning, right? Earning their works so they feel good about themselves. At least I came to church. It's like a bucket list thing. I came to church on Sunday, check. I did this, check. I tithe, check. But if they don't spend any quality time with God, you would say there's not much of a relationship. So isn't that weird that for quality time for every child, we would say it's absolutely necessary to have quality time. Every single child, even when we were children, quality time, so important. And we would say, you know, when it comes to our relationship with God, quality time, so essential, so important. But why is it that when it comes to quality time with other people, it's suddenly just one of the love languages? So that's why I believe that quality time is more than just one of the love languages. In fact, it's an essential. And I would say it's because of the quality time that you can really respond in those other love languages, right? Example is, you know, I'm a gifts person. And something that my wife, she's not a gift person, so she gets so stressed about what to get me for Christmas or birthday. And every year, although she's learning, she says to me, what do you want for your birthday? What do you want for Christmas? What do you want for your anniversary? Just tell me. Just tell me. And I just refuse to tell her, right? Because, well, I'm a gifts person. And what that means is, the reason I don't want to tell her, because what she gets me for as a gift actually represents how well she knows me. And if she is able to get me a gift that I really, really wanted without me telling her, or if she got me a gift, this is the ultimate. If she was able to get me a gift that even I didn't know I wanted, then that would mean she knows me even better than me. And the only way that can happen, right, is through quality time. Only by spending quality time can she actually be able to get me to that degree where she could do that. And that's the same with words of affirmation. You know, the words that if someone really has spent quality time with you and they get to and they know you, then the words they can speak to you potentially can hold so much weight, right? Same with acts of service and even physical touch, right? It's through that quality time that that those expressions of love can become so effective. So going back to Gary Chapman's definition on what quality time, the essential of quality time is, he said, essential aspect of quality time is togetherness. I do not mean proximity. Togetherness has to do with focused attention. So what is this focused attention? Is it just, you know, you're just staring at the person intently? No, that if you don't know the person well, that's creepy. What we're really talking about in this focused intention is intimacy. That's what the focused attention is. You're trying to develop intimacy. So here are some definitions that have really helped me to understand what intimacy is. So this is from Barry and Lori Byrne. Healthy intimacy exists between two people who both know and are known by each other in a deep, personal way. I want to highlight the part that says, who both know and are known by each other in a deep, personal way. And John Piper said, intimacy is what we call the experience of really knowing and being known by another person. So again, same thing. He's saying intimacy is to know someone else, and to be known. That's it. That's what intimacy is. And what happens when you are not experiencing this? What happens when you are not experiencing this knowing and to be known? The opposite of intimacy, when you're not experiencing it, is loneliness. This is what I heard from my wife. She said, especially even herself, a lot of stay-at-home moms or moms who are on maternity leave, especially in the early, first 6 months where it's just so demanding, there really is no opportunity to know and to be known, to experience this intimacy. So as a result, from what I hear from my wife, is it's very common. You know, you would think you're a mom, you have a husband, you have a child. Even in those moments, you can experience extreme loneliness. And for singles, this is also a common experience, to be lonely, right? And as a result of that loneliness, you have this desire to find someone to marry. And maybe for some people, that is a real motivation to find somebody. And that's not going to fix things, right? You think, oh, once I find my husband, I'm going to feel so satisfied. I will no longer be lonely. But that's not necessarily true either. What happens when you are lonely? What happens when you are not experiencing intimacy in your life? You look to fill that loneliness. And unfortunately, oftentimes, we fill it with unhealthy things. We will sin, and then we get so down on ourselves, we feel so condemned, and we think the solution is, for example, if you're watching pornography, you finally come to terms of it, and then you think, oh, I need to just stop watching pornography. I mean, you should do that, but that's not dealing with the root. The root of the issue is not pornography. Watching pornography is just a symptom of what's going on inside. The root of it is you're lonely. The root of it is you're not experiencing intimacy in your life. So how can we go after intimacy then? If this is what you want, how can we go after it in a healthy way? And first and foremost, it starts with God. It starts with God. In Matthew 22, verse 37 to 38, it says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great and foremost commandment. Following verse 38 is 39, and it says, the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Number one, it needs to start first. You cannot love people first. Whoops. You can't love people first and then love God. It all starts with God. You need to recognize in your relationships that no one can satisfy you except for God. Like, really. You cannot expect that the other person is perfect Because you're gonna have a rude awakening and realize they're not. And then you're going to be filled with disappointment. You're going to be filled with bitterness. So it really starts with God. When we're talking about intimacy, we said it involves two things. It involves to be known and to know. So first, let's talk about to be known. And when we're talking about to be known, it's important that we feel valued. Only when you feel valued do you feel like you have something to share, right? And that's why, you know, it goes back to the prior point where God needs to be first in your life. And because when he's first in your life, then, and after putting him first, then you will feel valued because you will be defined by who he says you are and not who you think you are. In Matthew 3, verse 17, this is when Jesus, Son of God, is baptized, and a voice out of the heaven says, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." That is what we all need. We need that affirmation from God first to define who we are. And God says, he calls us by name, we are sons, we are daughters of God, and he is pleased with us. So we need that. And because only when you have that do you feel like you have something to share, that you are valued, right? When you're in a group of people, what is going on inside? Do you feel like you have something to share? Do you have something to contribute? Do you think you're awesome, or do you feel like, oh, I really need to process what I'm going to say before I say it so that hopefully what I say will it'll get a really good response? That's really stressful, right? And the reason you do that is because you're so concerned about how people are going to judge you. I feel like, you know, when I'm in a group, I'm with my friends, I feel like they're so lucky to have me. I feel like my wife is so lucky to have married me, right? And even this year, you know, for the staff, I've missed out on a lot of events. And so I'm a little bit FOMO about it. I missed our staff retreat. They went to Israel and, you know, it's like a dream experience. And then this year they had this staff bonding fun day. They went to, you know, they just bonded outdoors. And then the end of October, I have a trip I need to make out to SPNY to preach. And during that time, it's going to be the staff appreciation. So I'm going to miss that too. So I've missed every single staff event this year. And so I'm feeling a little FOMO, but I feel like me not being there, in some ways, they're really missing out. They're missing out on my presence. And you might say, how can you feel that way? And even as I say that, I'm like, oh man, that sounds so bad that you're saying that. But it's true. That's how I really feel. And it's not because I think I'm better than anyone else. It's actually because of what God says. And this is what God says. In Psalm 119, verse 14, it says, "I will give thanks to you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, me, and my soul knows it very well." And so that's how we should all feel. Every single one of us is fearfully and wonderfully made. Made in God's image. He's the one. He is the potter. We are the clay. And he made us. And each and every one of us is unique in our own ways. And so every single one of us, we should feel so valued. And we should feel confident in allowing people to know who we are, right? The other aspect of to being known is allowing ourselves to be vulnerable. Allowing ourselves to be vulnerable. And sometimes, you know, I've experienced in a group setting where you have a group of people and people are sharing, and then usually one guy, he's sharing about his dark past and things that have happened in his past. And, you know, maybe he was a gangster and he was, you know, he got in fights and did drugs, shared about the dark past of, you know, pornography and addiction and drugs and partying, and really open and just sharing you know, all these things in his life. And then I've heard comments before. Usually it's from a girl. And the girl will say something to the extent of, wow. You know, blah, blah. You know, let's call Mike. Wow. Mike is so vulnerable. Mike is so vulnerable. And I think, was he? Because how I disagree is he wasn't vulnerable. Well, he was just being very open. And that's important too, right? Being open is part of just sharing of who you are so people can know you, sharing, you know, what made you the person you are, the experiences you all had that have led to you being where you are today, and how that's affected you and what you're thinking. And so being vulnerable is sharing about something that's happening in the present, right now. Being vulnerable is sharing what you're actually uncomfortable with, fears, insecurities. Oftentimes, we usually share about it after we've dealt with it. Right? After we've dealt with that really tough season, then we share about, oh, it was really tough, and then, but now I'm out of it, praise God. But being vulnerable is sharing those tough times when it's happening. And it's tough. I mean, it's tough on two fronts. First is sometimes we're not even aware of what we're insecure about. And so even something like this, you know, maybe you're really lonely. And that doesn't sound, you know, very optimistic or positive or, you know, it's not something that you would show off. Maybe you're not experiencing that intimacy. And it does take vulnerability to even admit that to yourself, right? And so oftentimes we're not even aware that we're not vulnerable or the things that are going on. And so we need to really take the time with God and just spend it with them and have him speak to us, and, you know, that we could humbly admit what we're feeling and where we're at. And then the second part that's tough once you're vulnerable is taking that leap of faith and even sharing it, right? Sharing it. No one wants to share their fears or insecurities, but it allows people to know who you are now. And that's not easy, right? Because what if someone doesn't accept you? What if people reject you? What if after you share that, people see you as, you know, a monster? What would happen? When you are being vulnerable, something potentially amazing can happen. And that leads to our third part of to be known, and is that can your vulnerability can lead to affirmation and acceptance. And when that happens, you feel so loved, you feel so accepted, right, and understood. And yes, as I shared earlier, we should receive all our affirmation and satisfaction from God first and foremost. He's the one who can satisfy you, only one who can satisfy you. But God frequently, if not almost always, also uses people to bring that full healing and restoration. Because if you think about it, usually what you're insecure or, you know, usually what you're hurt by is usually people. And so God uses people to also bring back that restoration. And that can only happen in community with other people, and when it happens, it takes the restoration to a whole other level. When I was dating, not my current wife, prior to her, I was dating someone, and at that time, I was still in school, and I'm trying to figure out my life. I changed my major, and so really behind the game in my career development. What she had shared with me was the reason we couldn't continue our relationship, she was breaking up with me, one of the reasons had to do with her parents not approving of me. Because right now I was still just a student. I was not just a student, I was an art student. And what kind of future did that hold? Yeah, that was really hard to take, right? Because I felt really rejected in some ways. But, you know, I dealt with it, you know, just declared God's truth, moved on. Eventually, as I was dating my wife, girlfriend at the time, I was kind of experiencing that same situation where I was really feeling condemned by my wife. And I decided to be vulnerable with her. And I basically shared, hey, I don't really feel supported by you. I feel like, if anything, you're putting a lot of pressure on me all the time. Like, I really have to accomplish stuff and, I don't know, and putting pressure on me to really develop my career. And basically saying to her, don't you accept me for who I am? And I recognized it was had to do with what happened in my past. And this is what my wife said. She said to me, she doesn't even remember this because I mentioned this to her. She said, no, that is not true. I accept you for who you are. And in fact, I support you 100%. And I believe in the potential that God has for you. And in that moment after that, I felt so loved and so accepted. And instant healing, restoration. I mean, God had already said those words to me, that you are valued. You know, I've got a plan for you. You know, you're so gifted and I'm going to use you and you're special. And when my wife said that, it just took things to a whole other level, right? So God can use people in your life to affirm you and bring acceptance. But that is under the condition that you can allow people to know who you are and that you can take that leap of faith to be vulnerable. So what is intimacy? It is to be known, but it is also to know other people. It is also to know. And again, it needs to start with God. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and your soul. Because if He's not satisfying you, really, you won't want to know other people. You can't be bothered, right? In fact, you just want other people to know you. So it does start again with the first and greatest commandment. Love your God. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul. And why should you do it? A big part of it is obedience. There's so much scripture on loving the other person, right? In Matthew 22:39, it says, and it was already referenced earlier, the second commandment is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love your neighbor as yourself. What does that mean, as yourself? It means, you know, the Bible really doesn't talk much on how to love yourself, right? I mean, it talks about you're valued, but in terms of how to love yourself more. Because we already do that too much. We already spend so much time. We spend so much focus on me, right? Me, 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 me. Meet my needs. Even when we pray to God, me, 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 me. God, I need this. I need that. We do enough of that, and it's so much that God, His challenge to us is love your neighbor as yourself. That time and effort you take care of yourself, the time and effort you take to think of yourself, do that for others, right? And that's getting to know somebody, finding out who they are, trying to understand them when people are being vulnerable, accepting for them who they are, praying for them, you know, walking life with them. That's getting to know somebody. And we see this between Jesus and the Father, right? The Jesus and the Father, they're always in perfect unity, always intimate with one another. You know, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, the Trinity, we see that they're in perfect unity with another all the time. And if we're created in God's image, then that's in us too. And so in Matthew 5:19, it says, therefore, Jesus answered and was saying to them, truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of Himself unless it is something He sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, these things the Son also does in like manner. He only does what the Father does. How is that possible? How is that possible? By really seeking out what God is thinking, what is His will, to know Him. He knows Him so well that He is able to accomplish that, where He only does what the Father is doing. So, yes, the Bible is telling us to love others, right? To put others first, to love people like Jesus does. But when you get to know someone, to know others, don't just do it out of obedience, but really do it with the motive of wanting to build relationship. Don't get to know someone just to find out if they are spouse worthy or not, okay? Don't get to know someone just to find out what perks or benefits that you can get, or discounts or hookups you can get. That's not why you build relationships. The reason you build relationship is to build relationship. It's to experience intimacy and connection with others. So there is quantity time and quality time. What's more important? What is more important, quantity or quality? If you have quantity time, but you are without quality time, what happens? That means your relationship with that person is really consistent. They're always there. They're always very supportive, but there's no intimacy. You really don't get each other, understand, but they're really reliable. And there are friendships that operate that way, where someone's just really reliable in your life, but it's just not intimate. And then what does it look like when you have quality time, but without quantity time? That's what that looks like. And we've experienced this, especially like first time you meet someone, and what happens especially on first times is you're really making an effort to know and to be known. And when that happens, what do we call that? We call that chemistry, right? We say, oh man, we really had chemistry. And that means you're just connecting. The knowing and to be known is just happening at a pace that's coming really naturally, really quickly, and before, you know, within an hour, you feel like you know each other so well, right? And that's incredible chemistry. But if that's just a one-off meeting and you don't keep spending time with each other, then it's a very unreliable relationship end of day. Even though you have great chemistry, right? If you're not meeting with quantity time, it's very unreliable. This in some ways, I feel like this type of scenario is even worse than the first, where you have someone who's very reliable, but maybe not so much intimacy. And so the answer is not which one's more important. This is also a radical middle, where you want both. You need both quantity time and quality time. You're so satisfied. You're so satisfied in your relationship. You're so satisfied with who you are. No loneliness. You're not desperate and to fill a void with, you know, the dream or fantasy of having a spouse. You're not trying to fill it with unhealthy means or sinful things, right? You're just so satisfied with where you are. And so now we need to take action. With the help of the Holy Spirit bringing awareness, now the next level is we need to take action. Faith without works is dead. You might have received this revelation I've shared with you on this video about what is intimacy, but unless you take action, nothing's going to change. You're going to still feel the same way you did. Let the Holy Spirit just minister to you right now. Let's close our eyes. I'll just pray over us. Holy Spirit, would you come? Would you bring awareness and recognition of what's going on in our life? Are we satisfied? Are we being intimate with you? First and foremost, are we even being intimate with you, Lord? Are we, you know, are we knowing you, and are we known by you? Or are we just praying for, you to intervene and meet our needs and prayer requests. I know you don't mind those things, but I'm surely you must desire for us to know you, to be intimate with you as well, Lord. And also, are we being intimate with our neighbors, the people in our lives? Are we really connecting? Why are we not doing that? So Lord, if we are lacking intimacy in our life, would you reveal to us and give us the courage to recognize that, but also to respond, to decide right now, what is the action? What is the proactive action that we are going to take to be intimate, to reach out to our parents, to really have a heart-to-heart talk, you know, to sit down with our spouses, to be real and say, hey, we have an intimacy issue. Let's really carve out time to be intimate, to go on a date, not just watch a movie, but, you know, go on a date where we can talk and really get to know each other, not even talk about, you know, the busyness and the things we need to do, but really talk about each other, not other people, but talk about each other. How are you doing spiritually? What's going on? Are you satisfied with God? Do you feel like you're growing? All these questions that, you know, as soon as we're comfortable with people, we forget to ask sometimes, Lord. So God, would you just speak to us in regards to this right now?
Covenant of love, so I will walk with you. I will walk with you. I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid anymore. Your love has made a way. We say accept the invitation to your love. We say yes, God. You and you alone can have it all. You lead me to waters that are calm. I will follow you. I will follow you. You're dancing and singing over us. So I will dance with you. I will dance with you. I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid. Your love has made a way. We say yes, God. We accept the invitation to your love. We say my mind, I've got no more excuses. the door and we let you in. I've made up my mind, I've got no more excuses, so we open the door and we let you in. We say yes, God, we accept the invitation to your love. Say yes, God, you and you alone can have it all.
And your word says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. That is your desire, Lord. You want us to be near you, to draw close to you, God, to be intimate with you, Lord. And it is also your desire for us to be intimate with other people as well, the people you have surrounded us, our brothers and sisters in Christ, Lord. So we just receive this message. Give us boldness, Lord, and courage to take that next step, to reconcile where we're at and also what we can do to take that next step, to initiate intimacy and relationship in our life, to prioritize people and the quality time that is required. Now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord cause his face to shine upon you and to be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace, shalom, from this day forward. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen, everybody. Thank you for joining us on the video today. I hope you are still blessed and that you're staying safe. Have a great week, everybody, and see you on Sunday.